The closing market report is made possible in part by a grant from Paul Cooley of ADM Investor Services in Oakland, Illinois, a full-service commodities firm with two toll-free lines. In Illinois, 800-252-2013. In Indiana, 800-637-3123, or email to Cooley at admworld.com.
Welcome to the Closing Market Report. It's February the 26th, 2007. I'm Todd Gleason. In a few moments, we'll talk about the commodity markets with Kurt Kimmel of Grainfield Marketing in Normal, Illinois. And later in the half hour, we'll discuss the cash grain market with the folks at the Andersons right here in Champaign County. In agricultural news, the Mexican government has released plans to rapidly and substantially increase corn production, and congressional committees in Washington are gearing up for the Farm Bill debate later this spring. Dave Dickey will have details of these stories later in the half hour, and then he'll stick around for a bit to preview tomorrow's AM 580 All-Day Ag Outlook meeting. It, by the way, kicks off at 7:30 a.m. Central Time tomorrow at the Beef House just off Exit 4 on I-74 near Covington, Indiana. Hey, and don't forget that just after the bottom of the hour, we'll check in with the folks at Chesapeake Energy to discuss the global agricultural weather forecast. It all comes up this afternoon on AM 580's Closing Market Report.
The Closing Market Report is made possible by AgriGold Hybrids, funding agricultural programming as an additional service to the many AgriGold customers in the AM 580 listening area. AgriGold, the corn after corn specialists. Information on the web at agrigold.com or by contacting Regional Sales Manager Scott Williamson at 217-778-6485 for a representative nearest you.
Taking a look at how the numbers settled in Chicago on this Monday afternoon. Futures in the wheat pit at 483 for the nearby March, down a penny and a quarter. The May contract down a 2.5 at 496 for the day. March corn futures 425.5. They were off 4.75. And the May at 438.5, down 4 cents. July's at 447.25, settled 4.75 lower. September futures at 431.25 were down 4.25. December contract at $4.18 a bushel, down 2.75 today. March soybean 778.75, up a half. The May at 794.5, up a half. And July at 809.25, up a quarter. November beans $8.32, 1.25 higher for the day. March bean meal futures at 227.60, were off $1.30. The March bean oil at 3071, down 32 for the afternoon. From the feeder cattle pit over at the Mercantile Exchange, March contract at $101 and a nickel. They were up $1.72.5. February live cattle at 94.97.5 a hundredweight, 80 cents higher on the day, and the April futures at 97.30 were up $1.12.5. April futures in the lean hogs at 66.87.5 at the Mercantile Exchange, 12.5 cents higher. From the outside markets, crude oil trading the April contract at $61.40 at this hour, up 26 cents. The CRB at 315.30, up 50 for the day, and the U.S. dollar at 83.97. That's off 0.08 for the day. Dow Jones Industrial Average at 12,626, and it's off just about 20 points this afternoon.
Todd Gleason's services are made available to WILL by University of Illinois Extension.
Joining us now to take a look at what happened at the Chicago Board of Trade and the Mercantile Exchange is Kurt Kimmel of Grainfield Marketing out of Normal, Illinois. Good afternoon to you, Kurt.
Good afternoon, Todd.
Tell me about this marketplace from your vantage point.
Well, probably the big caution sign today as a producer or as a trader that's long the marketplace is the performance of the corn market. The momentum indicators have rolled over. Some of the contracts we made new high and closed lower. Quite a few of the contracts we took out the previous day's high. In fact, during the day, trade opened above the previous day's high and closed below the previous day's low. And I can go on and on and on, but technically it suggests that maybe the corn market has found a near-term top and due for some type of correction here over the near term. Fundamentally, ideas are that maybe the demand has slowed here for a minute or two, and also, too, cash sales have picked up somewhat on this rally here over the near term. So in our best assessment, the way the market performed today, a move much below today's lows would suggest that corn futures are due for maybe a 10 to 15 cent pullback. It's not saying the high is in for good, but does suggest that it warrants to print some profit. Does warrant maybe to add to cash sales, especially ahead of month end here at the end of February.
So technically, if you take a look at it, and we can talk a little bit more about this on the charts, the December and the nearby both putting in a higher than Friday of last week or the overnight, in fact, on the composite charts, and a lower low, and they closed lower for the day. But I think you're probably looking even at maybe the weekly charts and saying there's some weakness there as well.
It's hard to project that right now, but yes, you know, we got to wait till Friday to see how things unfold, but it suggests that we're due to back and fill here for a while from a technical point of view, and suggests that the bull run could be over here for a little while, and then we'll see some type of correction or retracement, you know, take place. Now, if crude oil run to $85 a barrel, and you know, we see some private estimates showing that we're only going to get an additional 5 million corn acres. You know, there's things that could pump this thing up and send it to new highs. But the way the market reacted today suggests that there's a caution sign there.
A caution sign, but enough to make you pull the trigger on any new crop sales on the cash side?
It depends where you're at. And it depends what type of operation you have. You know, it varies greatly from individual to individual. You know, it depends if you're borrowing a lot of money or own ground or on-farm storage, off-farm storage. It depends if you got some crop insurance, you know, for protection, too. There's just a lot of what-ifs. But yeah, it does warrant a cash sale here. You know, if you have nothing sold, it does tell you to sell another increment here. If you're, you know, 10, 20% sold, it suggests, you know, sell another little chunk here. We believe in selling 10% increments on the way up here because we're fearful that once the thing does roll over, it's going to be awful hard to get a bounce to get sales higher at higher levels.
And if you're just watching the techs, the soybean chart doesn't look nearly that bad, at least on this one trading day anyway.
Yeah, it held in there, and it did squeak out some higher closes. You like to see it close at the higher end of the range. The key test will be tomorrow while we're at the beef house, and the key test will be Friday's lows. There's going to be a humongous amount of stops under Friday's lows. The question is whether or not we go down there and take those out and move lower, go down there and clean out those stops and are able to bounce or not. So far as the bean market goes, I believe tomorrow is going to be a key day for the soybean complex.
Yeah, and in Chicago, maybe we better take a look at the wheat market as well because it had an outside down day in Chicago for the nearby March contract.
Sounds like you've been reading up on this here.
No, I'm just watching. you know, Dave Dickey does a really nice job of putting charts together on ProfitX, and which I think a lot of the brokers use, and I can just pull those charts up and read them while I'm talking to you, but I was pulling the chart up that Dave had put together, and indeed there it is.
No, you got to do that, Todd, because when we look at the type of traders involved in the marketplace, a lot of them are technically orientated, and they're going to see this tonight if they haven't already.
Yeah,
and so it's very key for you to bring this up because when you got the largest, a large percentage of your open interest from the funds and the technicians, you got to keep an eye on this stuff. And you're correct. It was an outside day. You look at the momentum indicators, they're starting to roll over. I know several of the advisory firms are going to be recommending to sell some cash corn. They're also going to be recommending to sell some cash wheat here just due to the idea that this thing could be due for some type of correction here over the short term.
It almost makes me wish that we would be in the office here tomorrow as opposed to at the all-day Outlook meeting to watch it trade, but we'll keep up to date on those numbers all through the day tomorrow. We're looking forward to having you over there, by the way.
Boy, we look forward to it. I feel you just got a heck of a panel for that first go-around. I wouldn't miss that first panel for anything in the world. You know, Wayne Nelson, Dan Zwicker, and Vince Renegade on there, including myself, of course.
Yeah.
But man, you guys did an excellent job looking at the lineup, clear to the last panel there. It's always a event you're looking forward to every year because there's a lot of good information there, and you never know what somebody's going to say.
Yeah, we sure are looking forward to having you there. We appreciate much all the work you do with us on the air and look forward to seeing you at the Beef House tomorrow.
Very good.
All right, you start at what, 8:10 Central Time. You start fairly early in the morning, don't you?
Yeah, we'll get her over with there, and we'll have the rest of the crew follow up there with different commodities and different outlooks.
We appreciate it much.
Very good.
Kurt Kimmel is with Grainfield Marketing out of Normal, Illinois. Joins us here on the Closing Market Report. That happens each and every Monday. And you can see Kurt tomorrow morning at 10 after the hour of 8 o'clock Central Time if you want to join us over at the All Day Ag Outlook at the Beef House. We'll talk with Dave Dickey about that a bit later in the program.
The Carle Center for Rural Health and Farm Safety, a division of Carle Foundation Hospital, is proud to underwrite agricultural programming at WILL. The center helps residents of rural communities with education and training in farm safety. For more information, call 217-383-4606.
In just a bit, Dave Dickey will be here to talk a little bit about what's happening at the Chicago Board of Trade and the Mercantile Exchange and over at the Beef House. But right now we do have our forecast from our own Mike Sola. He says tonight across the two-state region in the north, it'll be cloudy, scattered snow showers elsewhere, partly to mostly cloudy. Lows will range from 21 in northwestern Illinois to around 30 in southern Indiana. Tomorrow, he says, in the north, cloudy, some scattered flurries elsewhere, a mix of clouds and some sunshine. Highs will range, says Mike Sola, from 33 in the north to around 50 in the far south.
The closing market report is made possible by AgriGold Hybrids, funding agricultural programming as an additional service to the many AgriGold customers in the AM 580 listening area. AgriGold, the corn after corn specialists. Information on the web at agrigold.com or by contacting Regional Sales Manager Scott Williamson at 217-778-6485 for a representative nearest you.
Speaking of websites, we'd like you to visit our website at willag.org. That's willag.org. We've just redesigned the website. We hope that it loads a lot more quickly for you. The pages are divvied up in a different way, and we kind of think that we've done it the right way. You can tell us whether that's right or wrong. There's a way to contact Dave Dickey and myself on the website. You can read a little bit about each of us. And more importantly, hear all the market analysis or a lot of it that you hear on the radio station right there off our website. You can just download the MP3 files, sign up for our podcast. It's all at willag.org. Speaking of Dave, he'll be here in a moment with all the day's agricultural news.
In agricultural news, the Mexican government has released plans for increasing national corn production by 43% within the next 6 years. The plan is to produce at least 30 million metric tons of corn and become self-sufficient. Currently, Mexico grows 21 million metric tons of corn. The reforms targets southern and south central states, which it says have vast potential to increase both yields as well as new areas for cultivation. The plan calls for increasing yellow corn plantings, increasing forward selling of contracts, modernization of outdated farm practices, and establishment of a strategic reserve of corn. U.S. Capitol Hill sources say congressional agricultural committees in the House and Senate are likely to introduce Farm Bill 2007 proposals in late April or early May, after receiving spending limits from their respective budget committees. Sources say House Ag Chair Colin Peterson and Senate Ag Chair Tom Harkin will be lobbying budget committee members for an increase in the USDA baseline. As it stands now, the five-year baseline for agricultural commodity programs is $39.5 billion. The 10-year baseline is about $84 billion. The Congressional Budget Office will update the baseline in March. A strike by Canadian National Railway workers is causing major problems for the nation's grain exports. The Canadian Labor Minister late Friday introduced legislation in Parliament to force the strikers back to work, but it could be several days before the measure becomes law. The American Meat Institute claims a newly released USDA Grain Inspection Packers and Stockyards Administration report shows congressional efforts to hamper marketing agreements would make the industry less competitive. AMI President J. Patrick Boyle says the GPSA report shows such legislation is a loser for both meat producers and consumers.
These arrangements, referred to in the report as AMAs, are basically livestock contracts. And the report says that these contracts increase the economic efficiency of the cattle, hog, and lamb markets and provide economic benefits to consumers, producers, and meat processors. Conversely, the report also says any restrictions on the use of these contractual arrangements would have a negative economic effect on producers, meat packers, and consumers.
Boyle says a report gives credence to AMI's belief that congressional mandates are not needed. and a late February thaw has allowed barge traffic to resume on some sections of the ice-bound Illinois River. However, river commerce remains slow on more northern reaches of the waterway, where lock restrictions remain in effect. And that's a look at today's agricultural news.
Thanks, Dave. Dave Dickey, of course, your director of agricultural programming here at the WILL radio stations. I'm University of Illinois Extension's Todd Gleason, the host of the Closing Market Report and Commodity Week. Dave will be back in just a moment to help us preview tomorrow's all-day Ag Outlook meeting. You can find all the details on our website at willag.org. That's willag.org.
Today's broadcast is made possible with support from First Midwest Bank, serving the banking needs of Illinois' agricultural community with locations in Champaign, Danville, Galesburg, Morris, and McHenry. More information is available from Doug Slayton in Galesburg at 309-341-5003. First Midwest Bank, member FDIC, and equal housing lender.
You're listening to the Closing Market Report. This is WILL AM 580 Urbana. Dave Dickey in studio with us. He's your director of ag programming here at the radio stations. Hi, Dave.
Good afternoon, Todd.
Hey, it's going to be a heck of a day tomorrow. We hope everybody comes out to see us at the All Day Ag Outlook meeting over at the Beef House. You've got all the details.
I certainly do, Todd, and I want to take an opportunity to personally invite each and everyone who's listening to me this afternoon to the All-Day Ag Outlook meeting tomorrow in Covington, Indiana, at the Beef House. And the reason I want to do that is because perhaps this year, more than many other years, knowledge of marketing strategies, I think, will be exceedingly key for producers to maximize their profitability. With prices where they are this year, you're looking at corn at 10-year highs. You're looking at soybeans over $8. Some people are projecting and suggesting that perhaps when harvest comes around, soybeans might even be as high as $9, depending on the summer. At these price levels, you really need to do some things to protect yourself so that you can put as much money in your pocket as you can. And that is what we're going to focus on tomorrow, ways to manage risk and to increase your profitability. And soybean panel, that one starts the day off at 9 o'clock Eastern time, 8 o'clock Central. Kurt Kimmel, Wayne Nelson, Dan Zwerker, Vince Renicki on that panel. By the way, registration ahead of the meeting actually begins at 8:30 a.m. Eastern time, 7:30 Central time, but then that soybean panel. And then late in the afternoon, our corn panel at 2:20 Eastern, 1:20 Central. Mike Zuzolo, Paul Cooley, Pete Manhart, Clayton Pope going to take you through all the possibilities about corn. And then in the middle of the day, I'm really, really excited about what we're bringing to you, because we're bringing to you Dan Bossi of Ag Resources out of Chicago. And we saw him at the National Association of Farm Broadcasting Convention in Kansas City. He just put on a stellar performance, a knowledgeable guy when it comes to food, fuel, and feed. And you will walk away way more educated on the relationships between these three things than you went in. And then a solid ethanol panel in the marketplace panel, I believe, as well, with Mary Holmes from Alpha Energy and Steve Kelly from One Earth Energy and Randall Matheny from Lincolnland Agri Energy, going to get us up to date on where the ethanol industry is and where they believe it might be over the next 12 to 18 months. So, and of course, Ag Weather with AM 580 Chief Meteorologist Ed Kieser and Steve Hilberg, and Gary Schnicki will be by to take us through all the crop insurance possibilities, even though we don't have the final numbers in on the premiums. We have a pretty good idea of what which policies will put you in the money. There are some good insurance possibilities this year that will lock in some really fine profits, and you need to hear that too. So, Todd, just a tremendous day, and again, beginning tomorrow morning with registration at 8:30 a.m. Eastern time. That's 7:30 Central. We go all day long, and I really do hope that people come.
Dave, thanks much, by the way, for all the work that you've done putting this program together. Dave Dickey, for those who don't know, of course, is the director of Ag Programming. Most everybody will know that, but Dave does an incredible job of putting together Things like the all-day Ag Outlook meeting. I come in and sit down at the radio station in the afternoon for my job over in Mumford Hall with U of I Extension and the College of ACES, but I don't do much except talk today from time to time about what kinds of things we might want to put on the all-day Ag Outlook meeting. Done a tremendous amount of planning. We sure do appreciate that, Dave. Thank you, Todd. Dave Dickey is your Director of Ag Programming here at the WILL radio stations. I'm Todd Gleason, the host of the Closing Market Report and Commodity Week, and the folks from the Andersons will join us tomorrow. I think Greg Johnson is on our cash grain panel, Brian Maple on that, as well as Bill Mayer and Kay Whitlock. You hear some of those folks, actually hear all those folks on the radio station. Somebody who will be staying back at the Andersons right here in Champaign County joins us now to take a look at the cash grain segment for the afternoon. Wyatt Muse, hi. I take it you're staying back in the office, or you come on over to the beef house?
No, that's right. I got to man the fort here tomorrow.
Oh, yeah, and if things are looking the way we think they might, tomorrow might be an awfully busy day. Where is it busy today?
Here? Yes, it is. Seems like down days might be busier than up days, if that's possible.
And farmers are calling just for assurance that the market's not going to fold on them, or are they actually calling to make sales?
A little bit of both. Some people are just questioning it after we see two down days, especially after the overnight being up so much. People have to question what's going on. And aside from that, there's people that have sat on the sidelines and watched this run up, and now that it's starting to break a little bit, saying, okay, let's pull the trigger.
And they're doing it?
Some are.
Some are, and do you think this is a good idea?
Oh, I don't see a thing wrong with it, especially on the old crop. I've been saying this for 50 cents now or more, and this is all good money. I don't see a problem with taking some of your chips off the table today.
And for soybeans, have they been as willing or not?
Not quite as willing. People seem to be pretty tight holders of beans, and so far that's proved to be the right thing to do. And how much longer that is the right thing, we won't know. But, you know, approaching that $8 area out of your old crop beans, especially if they're in the bin, certainly doesn't look bad.
There seems in the bean market in particular, there's more difference of opinion about what's going to happen in the marketplace. Some are still awfully bullish the bean market. In general, farmers are. But there are a few out there that are looking at fundamentals and saying that there's no way that this can hold up over time. Beans have gone against those fundamentals over the last couple, 2 or 3 years, I suppose. What are your thoughts?
Well, it depends on when you're talking. Old crop beans, I'm not nearly as bullish. And I can't say that I am overly bullish on the new crop either. If you look at the basis of old crop beans, it shows how much there is out there versus the demand. And I think we are approaching a point where you might want to move or lighten up on your position of old crop just because of what you're saying. There is so much out there. Now, on the new crop side of things, with less acres, and if we have the conditions to get the corn in this spring, we're going to have less beans, and the new crop stands to be potentially explosive. So I wouldn't be in as much as a hurry for the new crop as I am on the old.
And what are your bids for the day there at the Andersons?
Cash corn, we're at 417, fall delivery 396, cash soybeans are 756, and fall delivery 810.
All right, we appreciate it much.
Have a good one.
Wyatt Muse is with the Andersons. He'll be staying back at the homestead tomorrow while Greg Johnson joins us over at the Beef House for our cash grain segment. Greg, along with Kay Whitlock and Bill Mayer and Brian Maple, will join us at 8:55 a.m. Central Time for the Cash Grain segment. Just one of several panels at our All-Day Ag Outlook meeting at the Beef House. It's absolutely free. You can register at 7:30 a.m. Central Time. We'll have cinnamon rolls and coffee in the morning. There is a lunch at the noon hour. That's the only thing you really need to pay for. It's $8.75. Otherwise, just come on in. We look forward to seeing you at the Beef House. It's just off exit 4 on I-74 inside the Illinois-Indiana border on the Indiana side. Time now for your regional newscast.
With this look at AM 580 News, I'm Jeff Bossert. Illinois' House of Representatives will meet in a rare joint session tomorrow to discuss the impact of higher electric rates. The hearing is expected to last several hours and feature testimony from the utility companies, consumer advocates, several mayors, and others. State Representative George Scully pushed for the hearing to find out more about why the increases have been so large, especially for some downstate consumers. Meanwhile, a Republican lawmaker from Danville is calling for a one-year rate freeze for all electric households. Representative Bill Black's plan would also bar utilities from charging interest on rate hike deferral plans and create tax credits for the cost of power bought from Ameren. Black says reinstating the rate freeze for everyone would hurt the finances of electric utilities and could lead to the kind of problems California experienced during its energy crisis 7 years ago. A former state contractor wants nearly $11 million from the state. Officials with Illinois Property Asset Management say the company was fired improperly after a scathing audit of Governor Rod Blagojevich's administration. Illinois Asset Property Management filed papers in the Court of Claims saying the state owes it more than $9 million for work it completed and $1.5 million in interest. A defense attorney says a Bloomington police officer could stand trial in May, on charges that he raped four women. Defense attorney Michael Costello met with Sergeant Jeffrey Pilo for the first time before a five-minute status hearing on the case today. He and Jay Elmore took over Pilo's case after Pilo's lawyer stepped down earlier this month, citing medical reasons. The 42-year-old Pilo has pleaded guilty to all charges. And motorists would get a tax break in gasoline in Indiana if the pump price exceeds $2.25 per gallon under a bill passed by the House today. House Democrats have campaigned on a proposal to eliminate the state sales tax on gas. They did regain control of the chamber and have a 51-49 majority, but they abandoned that proposal earlier this season, or rather this session, rather, saying it would have cost the state too much and lost revenue to eliminate the tax. I'm Jeff Bossert, AM 580 News.
I'm Todd Gleason, AM 580 Agriculture. We're joined on this Monday afternoon to take a look at the agriculture weather around the globe and here in the Midwest by John Davis of Chesapeake Energy out of Chicago, Illinois. Hi, John.
Hey, Todd, how you doing?
I am really good today. Looking forward to our all-day Ag Outlook meeting at the Beef House in Covington, Indiana, one of those meetings that you've been to from time to time and come down in really bad weather. But I think we're going to be okay tomorrow, aren't we?
Yeah, tomorrow looks fine. You know, a couple of the days, the last couple of weeks would have been very interesting, but tomorrow is going to be a fine day. And really coming from any direction shouldn't be much of an issue whatsoever. So travel, the situation is wide open tomorrow.
And then tell me about your view of the agricultural weather around the globe.
Well, from a standpoint of the U.S. and the situation right now, certainly winter wheat is the item here in the U.S. that's still at the forefront, and overall that situation continues to be quite good. We got more moisture over the weekend across the winter wheat belts, both the plains and the Midwest, so our moisture situation going into this season upcoming is a very good, and in some areas, as the crop comes out of dormancy and begins spring growth, and the overall situation is quite favorable here right now. It's also a favorable situation down across Brazil and Argentina. This is probably for corn and soybeans in South America. This is most likely the best growing season I've seen in watching weather down there for 20 or 25 years. There are just no problems whatsoever, and we continue to have that general realm as we go into this week as well. And so as we get into March, again, no real issues down there. The areas that need somewhat drier weather are getting drier weather. Areas where that are still seeing some development of their crops are getting up pretty good rains, and it looks like that trend continues as we go into next week. So very favorable conditions there.
If we could come back to the U.S. for just a bit, I know you watch natural gas supplies on the energy side and how things are sizing up for this winter and usage. What do you see?
Well, really, the last 6 weeks and the cold weather that we've had the last 6 weeks has really had a dramatic impact on the overall supply-demand situation. Of course, back on January 1st, we had a lot of natural gas and very large supplies of natural gas on a national basis, and that 6 weeks of very cold weather really whittled away the natural gas supplies, not to problematic levels here, but certainly to levels here that are kind of where we should be at this stage of the season. So now as we look ahead towards spring and summer, it's kind of a situation from a supply and demand standpoint where it's right where we should be at this stage of the game. The fear back a couple of months ago that there's going to be too much natural gas around, and that is certainly not the case here right now. So kind of a normal situation supply-demand-wise.
Well, certainly not the fear if you were an end user of nitrogen or anhydrous ammonia or even to use natural gas as a heating unit. But
absolutely.
Otherwise, so supply should be at normal levels as we head into the springtime, I take it.
Yeah, it really looks that way.
Okay, we thank you much for joining us today.
Okay, Todd.
That's Mark Russo. I'm sorry, not Mark Russo, but John Davis. Mark usually joins us out of that office in Chesapeake Energy in Chicago. Joining us here on the Closing Mark Report on this Monday afternoon. Hey, be sure to come over to the Beef House tomorrow if you get the opportunity all day long. We'll be talking about agriculture and the outlook for markets and ethanol. And at the end of the day, Gary Schnittke will join us to discuss crop insurance and the FarmDoc website and how you can use it to figure your crop insurance premiums and get a good idea of what might play out best for your farm. It all happens at the All Day Ag Outlook tomorrow. Kicks off at 7:30 a.m. Central Time, just off Route 4, our exit 4 inside the Indiana-Illinois border on the Indiana side at the Covington exit. I'm Todd Gleason. Hope to see you tomorrow.